And take your Bibles and let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. I'll start reading in verse 1, but we'll read down to verse number 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 1. It says, "A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity." Verse 7 says, "Surely oppression maketh the wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit." I'm going to preach this evening on the end is better with the Lord. The end is better with the Lord. And let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get started. Dear Lord, we just thank you so much for tonight. Lord, thank you again for our church and just this opportunity that we get to gather together, Lord. Just thinking on the way here that there's a handful of us here, two handfuls of us, and there's probably only a few at Brother Connor's, and Lord, everyone else is probably not in church anywhere around here. And Lord, so just thank you that we get to meet. Lord, that you can take this, hopefully this opportunity, this small time that we have, and speak to our hearts. And Lord, make a difference in our lives and help us to be a better Christian. And Lord, to think ahead a little bit about the time that we have left here on earth. And I thank you for this time together. I pray you bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. The end is better with the Lord. I think you can agree with that. If you didn't have the Lord, the end's not looking so good, right? Without the Lord, people are dying and going to hell every single day. People are in the hospitals. People are scared of COVID. People are running around fearful, wearing masks everywhere, and just doing what they're being told to do and not really thinking much about it other than that they're fearful. They don't want to die. And so, and when the Lord is not a part of their life, what else do they have but to fear? Death itself, right? And so people are going to be fearful. But I love verse 8 of Ecclesiastes 7 because it says, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof." The end is better than what we have right now. You think, well, Brother Brett, this is pretty bad. Well, just hang on a second. We're going to get there. But you remember how we talk about the old days? Now, I'm not that old. I'm turning 48, right, honey? Is it 48? I'm turning 48 in just a few days. And so I'm not that old. But I remember old days of my youth. Here's some of the things that I remember. Now, you probably will easily remember this, some of you, and you'll go even beyond my remembrance. But remember the old days. Remember when everybody seemed to love America, right? And no one had a problem waving the American flag. Do you remember R.C. Cola and moon pies? Amen. I do remember that. I remember, in fact, my friend in high school, Kirk Anderson, his dad had an R.C. distributorship. And we used to get R.C. Cola and eat moon pies, okay? Do you remember the glass Coke bottles with peanuts? Did you put peanuts in your Coke bottles? Cracker Jacks. Yep. Do you remember this, Brother Garland? Do you remember driving your truck with a gun rack in the windshield, and your shotgun in the windshield, or a .30-06 or whatever you want to carry? I remember driving to high school in my parking lot with my gun in my windshield of my truck. Wow. And you remember VHS and carpet was a luxury. Remember that? And, of course, the last thing I thought of, just writing some few things down, was that most people back in the old days, most people went to church. They went to church on Sunday, maybe not Wednesday night, but most people, even though they may not even have been saved, most people just went to church because that's what everyone did, right? Okay, I like thinking about the old days. Our old days possess many wonderful memories, but we are not to sacrifice the potential of God's will for us in this current day in hopes of returning to a yesterday or a yesteryear. You say, Brother Brett, how can you say that? Don't you want to go back to the old days? Don't you want it to be like it used to? I do. I wish it could be. But look with me real quick in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Look in verse 9. It says, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry." You know, we tend to get angry right now, right, at what's going on. "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools." Look at verse 10. "Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning them." The Lord doesn't want us inquiring, why are the former days better than today? You know why? Because God has us today to do what he wants us to do today. See, the end is better than the beginning. When we began, things looked pretty good. You remember as a child, nothing seemed to, you didn't know what was going on around you. World War II was going on for some of you and you didn't even know, right? It was a good day. Things tend to get worse. They seem to in our lifetime, but they're no worse than they've ever been. Things have always been bad. Imagine living in the dark ages, right? We could be burned at the stake for coming and, you know, being rebaptized after we got saved. So things are not as bad or any worse. They're just always bad. But with God is better. The end is better with the Lord. Just think about this for a second. Our day is evil, but evil days and men have always existed in every generation. We Americans don't know any different. For the most part, we've enjoyed our freedoms, and we work and play, and we have had very little to worry about as far as foreign threats coming and invading our country. We enjoy many freedoms that most around the world don't enjoy. And for the first time in our lifetimes, we're seeing these freedoms stripped away slowly, more quickly, seems like now. And I would agree with Ben Franklin, those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety, right? We don't need to sacrifice liberty for a vaccination. It's crazy. And I'm all for standing against all that. But when it seems our best days are behind us in America, meaning that she's not what she used to be, does that mean our future is a dread and should we live in fear? On the contrary, as we see even more the day of the Lord approaching, we ought to get a little bit more excited about what's going on and realize that, hey, our time is short. So instead of looking back too far and getting depressed about where we were and what we are now, let's realize that, hey, the day of the Lord's approaching. He has a job for us. So, hey, if the scripture's true, the end is better than the beginning. We still have the end coming. We learn from this passage in Ecclesiastes, and we know from Scripture that we have a far better end, and to assert the former days were better is not wise. The end is far better. Ecclesiastes 7:8 again says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. I'm excited about the fact that my hope doesn't rest in America. It doesn't rest in what's going on in Washington, D.C. My hope rests in the Lord. Okay, now, think about this, though. Look back in Ecclesiastes 7 while you're there and look in verse 8 one more time. It says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Now, there's a colon, and it says, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. I hope to emphasize in talking about the end is better than the beginning. How can our end be better with the Lord? And it centers in that second part of the verse, and that is that as long as we're patient in spirit, our end will be good. And we're going to see that here in just a second. Before we go to some of the scriptures, I do want to take you first to Isaiah 53. Go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. If the end is better than the beginning, let's look just for a moment at our Savior's beginning, okay? At our Savior's beginning. Isaiah 53 says, and I'm going to read this passage. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to read most of it. Are you ready? Listen to our Savior and his beginning, and you tell me whether, and I'm not going to ask you to speak up, but you'll get the point. Who hath, in verse 1 it says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep for his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. This was our Savior's beginning. All the shame, all the pain, the affliction that he suffered, the rejection of his own people. This was his beginning. And if you think about verse 7 of Isaiah 53, where it says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was patient. Why? because this was just the beginning. Jesus knew what the end was going to be, right? Okay, now let's go over and let's look at real quick at the victory side of Jesus's, of what he did for us. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. So this was the beginning. Let's look in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's look in verse number 2. Hebrews 12 verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and here's the victory, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus, because of the joy that was set before him. What joy? The joy of him having victory over death and making a ransom for the redemption of all mankind and then being set down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God in heaven. That was the joy. So how did he endure such contradiction of sinners? Well, because he's looking ahead. He knew what was ahead. The victory was ahead. It was at the end. It's going to be the same with us. We're in a difficult day in our day, but this is just the beginning. We need to be looking ahead at what's coming. Like our Savior, as a believer, our end is also better than the beginning. Our present days may not be easy, but according to Scripture, we have a better end. I love this. If we could go back to our better days before COVID, let's just say, for example, before today, if we could go back to our better days, what would our Christianity be like? Would we be as homesick for heaven as we are now? I have never been looking more forward to going to heaven than I have in these days. We've had friends that have died, gone on, you know, that we know and love, and others that are sick. And we realize that there's not much left in this world I really, you know, other than the salvation of my family and friends and loved ones that I know and others that maybe God will bring our way. There's nothing else here that I'm really concerned about anymore. That's a blessing. Would we be as homesick for heaven as we are now if we could go back to the better day or the beginning days? Would we be more concerned for lost loved ones as we are now? Would we actually make spiritual decisions more so than we are now? Aren't we more angry at sin now than we were before? I am. You know, one of the things about the beginning, the end being better than the beginning, is as you grow a little bit older and you look back, you're like, man, I was such a fool. Some of the stupid things I did. If I could just tell my kids, and I know they're not all here tonight, but if I could just sit them down and tell them, just do right. Just make a right decision. Just fear God and trust God. Don't question God. Just trust them and just do right. It's going to save you so much grief. But I'm more angry at sin now than I ever was before. I'm happy about that. It's good. I got to keep working at it. But if we could go back when things were just honky-dory, it's a miracle of God that we were even in church. A little pressure has always kicked God's people into gear. It causes us to question who and what we're trusting in or what we're really depending on. It brings to light our true intention and motivation. It helps us to reevaluate our priorities, right? A little pressure, and now we've got to ask ourselves, wow, am I really willing to come to church if they shut church down again? I am. I wasn't at the first time. Remember that, brother? I was like, hey, let's just wait a couple weeks and see. I don't want someone to separate me from my kids. Remember that? Now I'm like, I'm coming to church. If you shut me down, I'm going to be in church. Amen. I'm telling you, it helps us, a little pressure. Again, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Hebrews 12:1. We were just in Hebrews 12:2. I think you're still there. But look in Hebrews 12 verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And look at this last part. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now I need Josiah. Come here real quick. Josiah is patience. Okay. Now, it said in that verse that we're to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us and run with patience. Run with patience. So patience is the pace setter. Okay. So patience, I don't want you to run a full sprint because the sprinters die out. I want you to just kind of run like a quick walk. Go. This is a practice. Go. Quick walk. There you go. Now come back. Okay. All right. Now I'm supposed to run with patience this race that God has put me in. So patience is the pace setter. It's my job to run with patience. So I got to stay with him. Okay. Go. All right. Now if you stop, I got to stop. Okay. All right. Now let's go back. Okay, ready? Reverse. Now we're going to do it again. This time, you keep going your pace, and I'm going to run ahead of you. You ready? Okay, go. All right? Now, this time you're going to go that way, same pace, and I'm going to walk behind you. You ready? Go. All right. Go have a seat. Okay. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, those that have gone on before, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I believe God wants us to exercise patience. If the end is better than the beginning, we're on this journey to the end, to the coming of the Lord. Well, if I'm going to make it and not quit or not get ahead, I've got to run that race with patience. I've got to have patience. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:8, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Romans 15:4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So through patience and comfort of the spirit, we can have hope in this time. Romans 5:3 says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Romans 5:4, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. So we're going to have some difficult days, right? They're talking about COVID camps. I mean, who knows what they got planned for us? You say, well, what are we going to do? I plan on having patience, and I'm going to get more into this here as we go, and I'm going to have to hurry. Pace, what is patience? I think it's 2 Thessalonians 3:1 says, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. So we're supposed to be patiently waiting for the coming of the Lord. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Revelation 14:12. Remember, what is patience? Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints, colon. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now that's in the tribulation period, the 144,000 and others. But here is patience. Here are they that keep the commandments of God. So in our patience, while we're waiting for the coming of the Lord, what are we supposed to do? Get crazy? Are we supposed to run ahead of patience and do what we think is our reaction to do to what's going on? I think we should prepare. I think we should plan. But we shouldn't run crazy and get ahead of what God is doing. God put us here, so we need to exercise patience and let us walk with patience and not get so far ahead of God that we're just like everybody else out there with the mask and a hose over their head, a pair of stockings or something. So patience. And so what is patience? Here are they that keep the commandments of God. Just obey God. Do what God called us here to do. Just be faithful and patient and serving and doing what we already know we're supposed to be doing. That is the patience of the saints. What do we do while we wait for the Lord? I wish he would come tonight. Amen. Boy, that'd be great. But what do we do while we wait? Patience is the legwork. Patience is the legwork doing what we're supposed to do while we wait for that great day. It's truth being refined in your life over and over. You know, we're all growing and learning every day. Every Sunday we're learning and we're being reminded, right? Pastor doesn't preach anything new. We're being reminded all the time. We're being refined to be encouraged to continue laying down the old man, putting on the new man. It's a daily, I die daily, like the Apostle Paul. So patience is the legwork in doing what we're supposed to do. It's what's going to get us to the end till we can have a good ending. Not salvation-wise, okay? Because Christians can have a bad ending, testimony-wise, right? But we know Lot was saved, so was by fire. It's truth being refined. I already said that. You're not an Olympian overnight. Everybody knows that. And you're not a super Christian overnight either. There's a patience. There's a journey. There's a beginning and an end. And patience is what's going to get us there. We run with patience, not ahead of patience. We are to have patience knowing that Christ will perform his work in us and in his time. Take your Bibles and go to Philippians 1, verse 6. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1, verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds, so the Apostle Paul's in prison, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, listen to this, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Paul wishes he could be somewhere that he can't be. So in patience, he writes his letter, being confident that God's going to perform the work that he promised that he started in you. Paul greatly longed after them. Well, I'm sure if he could have gotten out of prison, he would have. He probably would have wanted to break jail, but we know he wouldn't have broke jail because that would have been going ahead of patience, right? And in verse 9 there, it says, in this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent. Say, what do we do in patience? Paul goes from himself to what he hopes for them, and that is that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ under the glory and the praise of God. So he's encouraging them. God started a work in you. He's going to finish it. And so because that day's coming, do these things. Here's a good example. Are you ready? Of getting ahead or getting behind. Patience. Go to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. Psalm 126. Very famous verse. Verse 5. You ready? Let's start in verse 5. Yep. We'll read 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So this is a good soul winning verse. But the verse says, he that goeth forth and weepeth. That's the legwork, right? That's taking time to think about the lost, to pray over the lost, to get a real sincere burden for the lost, enough that it moves you to tears. But then when you go out, shall doubtless come, and bearing precious seed, giving out the gospel, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So what we do, and I'm guilty of this, I come soul winning as if it's something that is normal and easy and something that I can do, whether I have God with me or not, and you can, right? We go out and want to go soul winning because we want to be faithful, and I think our hearts are sincere in that way, but we've not put the legwork in. We've not prayed. We've not begged God for the souls of men that we're going to go knock on their door and don't know who they are, but to let God do a work, and we just can be the vessel, right? So we run ahead of patience thinking that I can do this, and then nothing happens, right? If we're going to run this race with patience, there's the work of God involved, right? He wants us to be involved, but are we doing the work to get God in? Are we getting ourselves prepared to be used by God? I like Luke 8:15. It says, but that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. With patience. It's one thing to go to church, get in the routine, do your ministry, teach Sunday school, ride the bus, whatever, go soul winning. I don't know. I think I want to have a little bit more. Don't you want God to be involved? I do. I'm kind of tired of doing things my own. It takes patience. 2 Peter 1:3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness. You realize, I can't love my brother right if I don't go back to the beginning of this. If I have no temperance, if I have no self-control, then how can I exercise patience? How can I exercise godliness and brotherly kindness and charity? There's a lot of work we can do if we don't run ahead of patience and do it in our own power, in our own way. If we could just let God, if we walk and run this race with patience, then God can be involved. God can do the work. We run with patience, not behind patience. back in Hebrews 12:1, we just read. I'm not going to read it again, but I'll read the end part. It says, "And let us run with patience the race that is set before us." 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1 says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." So there is a risk of fainting, quitting on what God wants us to do here. We're all at risk of coming to the place that we just quit. If you were to run the race with patience and you started lagging behind, why would that be? Well, in Hebrews 12:1 it says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us." The only reason why we're going to lag behind patience is because we're weighted down by sin or by other weights in our life that hold us back from being all in for the Lord. Things that maybe have our attention more than God. So we lag behind, and eventually, if you're not careful, you end up quitting because you can't do it on your own. We see that a lot. We've seen people come and go in our church. If we're going to run this race, we got to run it with patience, not ahead of them and not behind, but with patience. Go over to James chapter 1 real quick. James chapter 1, we're going to be done. James chapter 1. Run with patience. James 1. Verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." The only way I can really be excited about what's going on in our world today is that the trying of our faith works patience. We're being tried. I believe we're being tried more than we've ever been tried in our lifetime in America. We're being tried. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Look at verse 4. "But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." There shouldn't be anything else that gets our attention more than God, more than seeing God in what's going on in our life, and what's going on in our family, and what's going on in our church, and what God's doing in our hearts. "Let patience have her perfect work." That means you got to yield yourself, "that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not." James, look in James chapter 5. Go to verse 7. James 5. Look in verse 7. It says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." That was Job, right? Remember Job? Job 42:12 says, "So the Lord blessed Job." I'm sorry. "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses." God blessed Job in his latter end more than the beginning. And Job lost a lot in the beginning. But God showed up. Patience had her perfect work. Job never cursed God. He was patient through all that. He stayed. He let God do what he wanted to do. He was faithful to the Lord, and God came and blessed the latter end more than his beginning. Ecclesiastes 7:8, we'll end with this. "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit." The opposite is, I don't need, right? Like I said, driving to church tonight, I was just thinking, we're going to have a dozen people in church. I called Brother Connor. I said, "Hey, Brother Connor, I have just a crazy question for you. How many people do you have on Wednesday night?" He said, "About 100. Okay, 112. Victory probably has a handful or more. And everybody else around us, no one's in church. Pride, the pride of life, thinking that, you know, patience, the end of the thing, then the better is the end than the beginning. And the patient spirit is better than the proud in spirit. I hope that tonight, when you think about patience, think about the race that we're running. And are you running with patience? Or are you lagging behind because of the weight and sin? Or are you trying to jump ahead thinking, you've got it. Look, we can prepare until we go broke trying to prepare. And that's not wise. Don't get ahead. Just be patient and watch what God does. Amen. We already saw the verses. He's given us the victory. We know what the end is. So let's just walk this journey till we get there in patience. Amen. I hope that was a help. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for the truth of just, Lord, the importance of having patience in our life.